So take a breath. Take a breath. Oh, take a breath. Every breath, a gift. Every breath itself, gift. And what we take in, gift. These Earth cycle liturgies, as we reflected as a staff on structuring our prayer and praise in these days, we thought of the ancient world's view of the building blocks of creation: earth, air, fire, water. In our tradition, never deified, but understood as basic building blocks of God's ever-creative work. Last week, our readings and liturgy were built around the images of soil and the words about soil that we find in Scripture. Today, the word is air, the theme is breath, and the prayer is for wind. I left my house this morning at about 5:40 so that I could catch the 96 bus that leaves Medford Square at 6:05. Now, I do that not every Sunday, but a fair number of Sundays. I like the 6:05 bus out of Medford Square. It's the first bus of the day. This morning, I happened on my busy quick walk to look up at the night sky, and I was stunned. I was amazed by what I saw, for despite the light pollution of urban Boston, I could see stars this morning. Oh, so many stars. I don't know the night sky well, but Alice, what are those three stars? Are they Orion's belt that I see there? And okay. And there was a planet. I'm not sure if it was Venus, if it was Jupiter. I know Jupiter's been rising earlier in the evening, but it was just stupendous. It was so beautiful. And I had been reading this week from one of my favorite science writers, Verlin Klinkenborg. I love his name and I love his writing even more. And in November 2008, National Geographic, Verlin Klinkenborg wrote, "In most cities, the sky looks as though it has been emptied of stars, leaving behind a vacant fiction. We've grown so used to this pervasive orange haze that the original glory of an unlit night, dark enough for the planet Venus to throw shadows on Earth, is wholly beyond our experience, beyond memory almost. And yet, above the city's pale ceiling lies the rest of the universe, utterly undiminished by the light we waste, a bright shoal of stars and planets and galaxies shining in seemingly infinite darkness. Living in a glare of our own making, we have cut ourselves off from our evolutionary and cultural patrimony, the light of the stars and the rhythms of day and night. In a very real sense, light pollution causes us to lose sight of our true place in the universe, to forget the scale of our being, which is best measured against the dimensions of a deep night with the Milky Way, the edge of our galaxy, arching overhead." Looking up at the stars, I couldn't help but think more about these words. And then I came up at an intersection to cross a little cross street, entered the crosswalk this morning about 5:45 a.m. I had the light, the little white light telling me to walk ahead. Again, I was walking with the light, and suddenly zooming around the corner comes this guy in an SUV, and I jump back. He almost knocks me down. He pauses at the red light as he looks both ways, probably looking for officers of the law, and speeds right through the red light on his way to, I don't know, morning coffee. And then as I'm standing there with hands on hip, looking as mean as I possibly can at this, the back of this SUV driving away, I hear this sound behind me. Whoosh! And suddenly, I'm wet. And I turn around. The sprinkler system on the manicured, well-fertilized lawn of this edge of the suburban neighborhood that I'm in has just come on, and the little sprinkler head at the corner of the lawn, instead of pointing back onto the manicured, well-fertilized lawn, is aimed right at my behind. I got wet. Take a breath. Take a breath. Each breath a gift. The average adult breathes in about 1.8 liters of air. For the metrically challenged, that's about 2 quarts of gift of God. Gift of God, life itself. Breath and air, gift we cannot see, yet gift we cannot live without. Many people all around the world are marking today 10-10-10 as an opportunity to work for and call for change in the ways we humans relate to the rest of the environment. Scientists like NASA's rebel James Hansen, poets like the irascible Wendell Berry, activists like insistent Bill McKibben, have taken their place among the prophets, past and present, calling us to recognize that the choices we make do matter. Of course, the choices made on meta levels are really important, and sometimes we believe we cannot affect those choices, government, business, the academy. But the choices we make, these prophets call us to recognize, do matter. Vehicles, for instance. Now, it was 10 years ago that Bill McKibben challenged the proliferation of SUVs on our streets and highways in an article entitled Driving Global Warming. I think it's still worth hearing him. Transportation, McKibben writes, is a moral issue every bit as compelling as the civil rights movement of a generation ago, and every bit as demanding of our commitment and sacrifice. It's not a technical question. It's about desire, status, power, willingness to change, openness to the rest of creation. It can't be left to the experts. The experts have had it for decades now, and we're pouring ever more carbon into the atmosphere. It's time for all of us to take it on, as uncomfortable as that may be. McKibben ends his piece by saying, calling it a moral issue does not mean we need to moralize. Every American is implicated in the environmental crisis. There are plenty of other indulgences we could point at in our own lives, from living in oversized houses to boarding jets on a whim. But there's no symbol more clearer in our time than SUVs. Stop driving global warming. If we can't do even that, we're unlikely ever to do much. Now that was 10 years ago, but the choices you and I have made over the last 10 years, air travel, car purchases, light bulb purchases, factor into the current moment just as surely as decisions made by the big players, government, business, the academy. Take a breath. Take a breath. The air we breathe, a mixture of gases, including nitrogen, oxygen, water, argon, carbon dioxide, trace gases. Every day, we inhale around 14,000 liters of air as we take about 26,000 breaths. You know what that's equivalent to? About 150 full bathtubs. If this air contains pollutants, as it does, we inhale them into our bodies, as do everything, all living things, everything that breathes. Take a breath of gift of God, no longer unmixed blessing, no longer unmixed blessing. Both scripture readings we heard this morning play on Hebrew and Greek words which have multiple meanings. Ruach and pneuma can mean breath, wind, or spirit. Ezekiel's famous vision of the valley of dry bones and what God does with it. Ezekiel's famous vision recalls the tender story of creation, God's kneeling down in the soft earth to breathe into the human the breath of life, God's own spirit, and promises, Ezekiel does, a fresh act of new creation in the future. In the sideways conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus says that the only person through whom the person through whom God's Spirit blows can enter into and truly see God's kingdom, God's way of doing things. Only the Spirit-filled can enter into and see God's way of doing things. Both Ezekiel and Jesus point us to a source of hope beyond our choices. Both Ezekiel and Jesus assert that God's Spirit is the decisive factor in the human future. This word is the gift that we bring into today's call for change. This gift of a word of promise is the gift that we bring alongside all those around the world this day who are working for, struggling for, calling for change in the way we do business. Change that will change the future also of environmental degradation. Our choices, our work, the resolve to pursue a different course, all of this is vitally important, but our particular vocation as a part of the human family is to beg for God's breath as the decisive factor. For we have been entrusted with the promise that God's breath, God's wind, God's spirit, the decisive life-giving factor, is indeed gift that God wishes to bestow among and through us. The choices that we make, the actions that we pursue in our daily lives and as a society do indeed matter. But we are the people called to remember that it is God's breath which finally makes the decisive difference. And so, let us work and let us beg for that breath to blow. In Christ's name, amen. The hymn is hymn 407.